The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. It's great to see you all here. My name is John. I am the lead pastor here at Hope Hill Church. We are excited to have you here with us as we begin 2016. And we're very excited about the next month as we enter the month of February and get ready to prepare for our fifth year anniversary as a brand new church. How many of you are excited for what God has already been doing in just five short years? We want to celebrate this together as God is doing a building of His church, an expansion of His church. As we get to be brought in to be a part of it, we want to celebrate the love that's unfolding from Him to us and Him through us to others. On February 13th, we are going to have a night of celebration of all God's begun and what He's leading us to. So we want to encourage you to stop by this back table. You're going to pick up a ticket. Now, we had a generous donor come in and say, basically, we want to get behind what the church is doing. We want to celebrate this right. And so we want to have a reception to celebrate what God has done. And we want to invite you. The majority of the costs have been covered, which allow us to do this awesome event. But we need you to buy a ticket to help cover the remaining portion. And it's going to be dinner. It's going to be a night of celebration and dancing. You can't have a reception without dancing. It's going to be great. It's at Bristol Manor Country Club. And we are not a country club church. What I mean by that is we believe in getting down and dirty in the trenches. If you've been here at all in our 5 years, you know that's true about us. But we want to take time to celebrate God being messy in our lives and us getting messy in one another's lives. And let's throw a party. There's going to be a party thrown in heaven one day where all of us are invited. I hope you're there. But God also allows us to celebrate here while on earth. So love story. God is writing one in your heart, on our hearts, on the heart of this church. And we want to celebrate what that means as we hit our five-year anniversary, February 13th. Buy your tickets in the back, and we hope you do that, okay? Also, if you're visiting with us, I hope that you give us a chance to really show you what God's doing here. I actually want to encourage you, if you're visiting today, consider coming the next month. I'm not saying you have to sign anything yet. If you are coming, though, you can't capture the heartbeat of our church in just one morning. In fact, if the only thing you check out is our Sunday mornings, you won't see what we're really about. We want to encourage you to have a conversation with. I would love to go out to coffee with you or meet you at your place of employment if you have a lunch break and take time to get to know you, let you ask any questions that I might be able to answer for you about our church, what we do with children and youth, about our adult Bible studies, our outreach to the community and around the world, all of that. We want to answer your questions. It's hard to do that on a Sunday morning. I'm going to be talking most of the morning, and you're just going to be sitting there. And so I want some time, just one-on-one, or I'll meet with your family. But let's connect. That'll help us take some steps forward. We started a series last week called Transformed. We are called and created to be transformed by God and sent on His mission. As a church, we want you to be equipped and be the transformed people that God is calling you to be so that we can be fulfilling the mission that He's called us to. Romans 12:2 is our theme verse for this series. And if you miss any part of it, I want to encourage you to go to hopehillchurch.org and you can listen to weeks you may have missed. It's great. If you are looking to start off 2016 on the right foot, this is a great series for you. I want to encourage you, as I do every year, and really often, almost every month, that we have God's love letter provided for us. God left us this set of instructions, Bible. I've heard it said that the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. I don't know how often you read an instruction manual. If you're a man like me, they're optional, right? God's word is not optional. If we want to be the transformed people that God calls us to be, we need to let God's word get into us. I want to encourage you to take the John 21 challenge. If you've never had a set time in your life for reading through God's word, I'm not going to ask you to, I wouldn't expect an infant or a newborn to eat a T-bone steak in their first month of life, okay? I'm not expecting you to go home and read the entire Bible by next week. That would be awesome. But I want to ask you to take a baby step. Are you willing to take a baby step? How many of you? Anybody? Well, okay, a couple of, thank you, two of you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the John 21 challenge, not the John Cousins 21 challenge, but the book of John. There's 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. You could cheat and go home and read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and get away with like 7 chapters. They're much shorter. But I want to encourage you to read the Gospel of John the month of January. Get this year started off right, walking with Jesus, letting His Word get into your life. You could read a chapter a day and be done with the entire Gospel of John in 21 days. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus, God in flesh, becoming one of us, moving into our neighborhood, showing His love for us. The author, John, has beautiful pictures that he paints showing the God-man, Jesus. And I believe that God's Word is there to change you, to transform you. Actually, Romans 12:2 puts it like this. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. You see, we live in a society where it's all about just go with the flow. Don't rock the boat. You know, just kind of get in the flow of things. And so many times there's pressure for us to go with our culture. And God from the beginning, this was written through the Holy Spirit's inspiration by a man named Paul ages ago, but it's still true for today. If we're going to be the people God calls us to be, and I'm not saying that God wants us to be separate from the world. We are not a church that believes in God wants us to be some holy huddle, pulled away, not stained by the world. Instead, God says be in the world, but not of it. God doesn't want us to conform, but to bring the light of His love into this world. And we want you to start by starting this year off right. So, don't conform any longer to this world, but instead be what? I didn't hear you. Be transformed. Let's face it, all of us need help in one area of our life or another. Does the person next to you need help? Look at them. Do they need help? We all need help in one way, shape, or form. We all need God's loving, transforming power in our lives. How are we to be transformed? It goes on to say, by the renewing of our mind. God's Word is there to renew us, to refresh us, to make us new. We need to let it get into our lives. If your marriage is struggling, I want to encourage you to get into God's Word. Read what He says about marriage. And if you start to apply that to your life, you will see healing in your marriage. Is your family struggling? Is your parenting? How many of you are struggling parents? You don't have to admit that, okay? Read what God says about parenting. You can go back and read what God says about sex. Read what God says about finances. Any subject. And yes, it can be hard to know, well, what page do I turn to deal with that? If you don't know, ask me and I will do my best to help and lead you to God's truth. But the important thing is us having open hearts and open minds to allow our minds to be renewed by His Word. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this series, at times, it would be easy for you to fall asleep. It might be easy for you to say, I don't know that I really need this one. I'm not that bad off. We're going to be touching on some areas that I hope you're open to. I hope you're open to allowing the Holy Spirit to show you areas where you do need God's transforming power in your life. All of us have different hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we need help with. And we need help. Today we're going to talk about the issue that we need to realize that we are not God. You might be saying, oh, of course I'm not God. But the way we live often, we want to be in control. We want to handle our problems on our own. We want to play God in our life oftentimes without realizing it. And today we need to realize that we are not God and that we serve a loving God. Isaiah 57:18 says this, God is speaking to a nation of Israel, a hurt nation. And he says, I have seen their ways. And a lot of Israel's pain and a lot of your pain and my pain, they're in our lives because of choices that we make or things we decide not to make, choices we decide not. And a lot of times our pain is our own result. Not always. I know there's some things that have happened in our lives that are out of our control. But God says, I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I want you to circle that word, heal. There are many of us here today in need of God's healing. He says, I will heal them. And not only will I heal them, I will lead them. In the other versions, it says, I will guide them. God wants to be our shepherd, our guide, our healer, our protector. He goes on to say, I will restore comfort to them, to Israel's mourners. Have you been hurt? God wants to heal you. Have you been confused? Confused about what's going on in your life? Confused about what road to go down? God says, I want to guide you. I want to lead you. Have you felt helpless to change? God is here to help you. Have you felt like you're just in a situation that no one could ever understand? God says, I'm here to comfort you. God is here to offer peace to those who are anxious, worried, and afraid. The fact is that life is tough. We all will stumble. All of us will walk through hardships, trials, and circumstances. And God says, I am here to love you and to be with you through it. So, who needs transformation? Who needs recovery? All of us do. There's not a single one. The Bible actually says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. So what kind of things are you possibly struggling with that you need some of God's power in your life, that you need to realize that God has surrounded us with His power and His presence, and we need our hearts open to it? Do you overwork? Anybody here work too much? Three of you. Okay. That's good. Anybody here struggling with grief? Maybe some lingering things as a result of a divorce, insecurity, gambling, overeating, guilt, abuse, perfectionism. Any perfectionists here? Lying, alcohol, drugs, anger, rage, sexual addictions, hypochondria, procrastination, overspending. No one here. Fear, anxiety, codependency, hurtful relationships, or just the need to be in control. If you struggle with any of these, if you said yes, you struggle with one of those, any of them, welcome to the human race. We are a broken people. Nobody had to teach me how to fight with my brother. I had to learn how to defend myself a little better when on a counter or something, but no, it was born in us to be greedy, to be selfish, to want what we want. That's how we're wired. Sure, the person sitting next to you might be a more bad person than you are, but all of us are broken. All of us are in need of God's help, His healing, His transformation. And regardless of what you struggle with, here's the good news. The steps of healing are the same for everyone. I keep referring to God's Word because it is the foundation of life. It is the power to transform and to heal us and to make us the people that God wants us to be. In 1935, there was a couple men who were broken, trying to figure out how to heal, how to bring hope, how to bring help to certain people in society who were overcome with addictions. It was this group called AA started. You've heard of it? Alcoholics Anonymous, they decided that the principles that made most sense came from where? Came from God's Word. They came up with this list, this 12 steps found in the Scriptures because they found that this is where the true power to heal comes from. A couple years ago, maybe a little longer than a couple, there was a man named Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Community Church. He started a group called Celebrate Recovery. They took those 12 steps and kind of shrunk them down to 8 But the same principles are there. And what I want us to do is to walk through some of these principles over the next month. These principles will bring the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ into our life if we open our hearts and yield ourselves to Him. All of us need this. And so the first point, and the most important that we need to realize today, is this. We need to realize that I am not God. I am not God. And you would say, of course, I know I'm not. But again, many of us live as if we are. How many of you stay up late when you know you need rest? Yeah. How many of you eat more calories than you know you should? A couple more hands should be up there. How many of you should exercise, but you don't? How many of you know the right thing, but you don't do it? How many of you know it's the wrong thing, but you do it anyway? How many of you try to control someone or something when you know it's totally out of your control? Each and every one of us in here, we are affected with the same thing, and it's called sin. We are broken people. We want to deal with life our own way. We want to play God. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 and following. He said, I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do the right thing, but I can't. I do what I don't want to. I do what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't help myself. It's sin inside of me that is stronger than I am and makes me do these evil things. We need to come to a point of realizing the first thing I said last week, that we cannot be our own God. We cannot control the things in our life. And we need the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit in our life and those He surrounds us with. Transformation requires coaching. It needs the help from those around us. God does not want you in 2016 to become a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ in your prayer closet. God doesn't want you to be a lone Christian. God wants you to be a part of a family where you're surrounded, where you're walking through life's trials and struggles and temptations together, building up one another, empowering each other, equipping each other. It says it like this in Ephesians 4. It says, so Christ Himself gave us these coaches. He gave us apostles, sent ones. He gave us prophets, those who will speak truth into our life. He gave us evangelists, those who will go and share the light in dark places. He gave us pastor shepherds, those to lovingly care for us and pick us up when we fall. And He gave us teachers, those to help us understand the deep truths of His Word. He gave you those people to surround you, to work through the power of the Holy Spirit in them and in you, to transform you into the people He's calling us to be. So, our first step is to realize that the basic cause of my problems is that I want to be God. I want to be in control of my life. I want to call my own shots. I want to decide what's right and what's wrong depending on the situation. I'll justify it and bend it so that I get what I want. I'll make up my own rules. I'll put myself in the center of decisions. I want to be God. Statistics show that the more insecure a person is, the more they want to be in control. Do you struggle with insecurity? Do you find yourself trying to control everything around you? This has been man's oldest problem. Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden. God created this beautiful place, a paradise, and He said, I want you to enjoy all of it. There's one thing I want you to not do. See this tree over here? Leave it alone. They had all this. And what'd they do? Beeline straight for that tree. And what did Satan in the body of the serpent lure them? Did he say, hey, this is some really yummy fruit. It's the best in here. Is that what got him? No. He said, if you come and eat of this, you will what? You will be gods. From the beginning, this has been our desire to be in control of our own life, to be like God. This has been the struggle that we all deal with in one way, shape, or form. How do we play God in our life? We play it like this. We deny our own humanity and we try to take control of everything to work it to our own selfish way for our own selfish reasons. We try to take control. Areas of example. First of all, we try to control our image. We want people to see the me I want you to see. And so we do status updates and post the right pictures and we write the right posts so that I got to hide the real me. If they see the real me, they may not accept me for who I am. And so we put out there the me I want you to see. We walk into church with our church face on. If anybody knew what our family was really struggling with, they may not invite us back. We feel like we have to put on some face, some facade. We try to control our image. How many of you know or heard of Cindy Crawford? Some of you have no idea who I'm talking about. That's really sad. You heard of Taylor Swift? Okay. I've kind of two obsessions in life, Star Wars and Taylor Swift. It's weird. I know it's, I'm confessing my as well. Taylor Swift put out this video with all these supermodels. Well, there's an old model in that video. That's Cindy Crawford. Okay, a lot of you have no idea who it is. Cindy Crawford was quoted saying this, that the me people see is not the real me. The photos you see on TV or in magazines, it takes 3 to 4 hours for that person to be created. 3 to 4 hours. Even supermodels aren't the real. I know that's alarming to many of you. You're shocked, aren't you? We try to control our image. Number two, we try to control other people. How many of you are parents in this room? Parents, raise your hand. How many of you try to control your kids? How many of you are still trying? Yeah, exactly. Yoda says, do or do not, there is no try. That's your problem, okay? We try to control our kids, and still we don't understand why they're doing the... And how many of you have kids that are trying to control you? Some of them are doing a good job of it. Our kids try to control us. Husbands try to control wives. Wives try to control husbands. We go through life trying to control the people around us. And we use many tools, manipulation. Sometimes we'll be nice and sweet just to get what we want. Nobody here, of course, does that. We use guilt. We use fear. We use praise. Silent treatment. Anybody getting that right now? Put your hand back down. The biggest problem is that we try to take care of these things on our own. The next thing is that we have problems to deal with. We try to fix things our own way. We have phrases. You've heard these all. I can handle it. It's not really a problem. I don't need help, and I definitely don't need counseling. Well, I can quit anytime. We have this mindset. We live in this culture where we got to have everything together. I remember going to Burke Electronics about 10 years ago. Tried to fix my TV on my own. Didn't work. When I got there, though, I don't know if I was surprised or pleased. I saw this pile of electronics, TVs and various pieces of AV equipment, and it had different sticky notes on it, some like dead, on the way to the grave, you know, all labeled in that way. And I asked, I said, what is that? And he said, that's electronics that people try to fix on their own. Many of us go through life trying to fix our own problems instead of going to the people or to the God who can help and heal. And then we have our pain. Many times our pain just makes it worse. And we try to run from our pain, or we try to hide our pain, or we try to postpone our pain. And we do this by eating or not eating. Some of us do it by taking things into our body, drinking, smoking, drugs. Some of us, we deal with it by being in and out of different relationships. This person will help me get over this. It's not going well. Never mind. And we try this one. Some of us, we become abusive. Unfortunately, I hope my family doesn't see me as abusive, but I take it out on them. When I get frustrated and tired, I take it out on them. Some of us get depressed. We have to realize that when we try to play God, these are the things that we will deal with. What are the consequences of playing God? Is number one, fear. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that when Adam and Eve sinned, they went and they ran and they hid. They went and hid behind a bush that God created. the all-knowing maker of the universe, and they thought they could hide from him. But that's what we do. We try to hide from God. We try to hide from others. We try to hide our pain, our problems. Instead of owning up to them, we're afraid of letting other people in or letting other people get too close because they may not accept the real us. Number two, if you try to play God, you're going to deal with frustration. Try being the general manager of the entire universe. God has a big job. Let him do it. I remember taking the kids to Chuck E. Cheese. And one of my favorite games, mainly because I found a way of getting a lot of tickets out of it, was this little kiddie version of Whack-A-Mole. It was about this high and I could cover the whole thing really fast. But the frustrating part of Whack-A-Mole is I could never get the high score because every time I'd hit one stupid little thing, another would pop up. And I just spent so much time trying to hit all these things. And it's just like life. One compulsion or one problem or one frustration will pop up. And as soon as you think you've got it dealt with, there's another one and another one and another one. And it will just drive us into frustration. Paul said it like this in Romans 7 again. A little later, verse 21, it says, "It seems to be the fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Something else is deep within me, and it's at war with my mind and wins the fight every time and makes me a slave to sin." Frustration. When you try to beat this, there's just something else. Number three, fatigue. It can be very tired trying to play God. Trying to control everything, we pretend we have it all together. Daniel said it like this in Psalm 32 when he realized he could not live life that way. He said, "My strength was being evaporated from me like water on a sunny day until the day that I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them." Many of us, we try to run from or hide our pains, our problems, and our struggles in different ways. Some of us just work. The more I work, the more I stay busy. I won't have to get home and worry about that. I won't have the mental capacity to deal with it because I'll fill my mind with other things. And so we work ourselves to death. How many work too much? Some of us will dive into a sport or a hobby. We'll just constantly be investing ourselves in that time. If I just keep myself busy, always on the golf course, always on the tennis courts, you name it, wherever you are, if I keep myself always on the go, I won't have to deal with my problems. Even church activities can be this. There are a million nice ways to run from your problems. Are you worn out today? Are you feeling tired? My encouragement to you is to ask God's Holy Spirit, show me, God, why, what I'm running from. God, what is it that I'm trying to deal with, that I'm trying to run from, that I'm trying to hide? Open up my eyes to see who you are and show me how to face these problems. And then we don't want to deal with failure. Proverbs 28:13 says, "You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Instead, confess them, give them up, then God will show mercy to you." We want Hope Hill Church to be a church where you can be real about who you are, where you can find encouragement in the struggle. There are people sitting next to you who may be dealing with the same things you're dealing with. We want to be a place where we can be safe, where we can be loving, where you can get encouragement, where you will have the truth shared with you, but where we will help each other be strengthened to do the right thing. I've been trying to brainstorm, how do we foster this more in our community, more in our church services? We have our community groups, a great place where you can be together with four or five other adults and in a more intimate environment and be real, sharing life. But I even want to see it happening more on a Sunday morning. We have times at the end during our response time where there's normally a few people standing up here ready to pray with you, but I know it can be hard to get out of your seat, to walk down this aisle. Everybody's going to look at me and see that I'm admitting a weakness. It can be hard. And so what we've done is we've moved a couple stations to the back. You can walk backwards instead. But in all seriousness, in our time of response, it's a time for you to consider what Christ did for us. We have these communion tables because the Scriptures tell us that when we come together and as we eat of a piece of bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for us, as we dip it in this cup of juice, a symbol of the blood of Christ shed for us, as we come together and remember what He did on the cross for us, He bore all of our sins, everything you've ever done, everything I've ever done. Jesus took it all upon Himself, and He died in our place to offer us forgiveness and to set us free from these things we're trying to run from. And so on a Sunday morning, it's a time for you to come and you to find encouragement. What we also want to help see, there's a couple stations in the back today. And this is different than if you come here regularly. We normally line up, you know, around the sides and you wait for your turn. You come up and you dip and you eat and you go. I don't want us just going through routines. Actually, Paul encouraged us that when we come to a time of remembering what Christ did for us, let us take a time first to examine ourselves. If you find that you've got something between you and another, go to them first. Ask for their forgiveness. Try to make that right. Spend some time praying with them. And then come to the table together, letting God bring unity to all of us. And so today, when our worship band leads us, I want to encourage you to not rush to get in line. There's actually 4 stations today. And I want you to, first of all, take time to let God's Holy Spirit speak to you about what we've been talking about. Take some time to get right with God. God, thank you for dying for that struggle. I pray that you take it from me. And now, God, I come and I am grateful and I remember what you did for me so that I can have freedom in this area. We'll have prayer team members and people at the tables. But what I'd love to see is Mike and Lene go back to that table behind them. And Mike, as a loving husband, picks up that bread and gives it to Lene, his wife, and said, "This is Christ's body broken for you." And she takes a piece of that bread and she then holds it and says to her husband, "I love you and Christ loves you more. He died for you. This is His body broken for you." And it becomes more real and we become more intimate in this uniting of God in our souls. So we take time as families, kids serving parents and parents serving kids and community group members serving one another. And if you're here today and you don't have any friends here, we want to help you make friends quickly. We'll have some people back there ready to serve you if you come to the table alone. But don't just rush to the table. Let God speak to your heart. Let God deal with you as you remember what He did for us. The third point for today is the cure. The cure comes in this way. First of all, admitting that we are not God and that we are powerless to change ourselves. The Scriptures say that in my weakness, He is strong. We need Him and the power of His Holy Spirit in our life. We need to admit these 3 things. Number 1, I am powerless to change my past. Yes, all of us have some stuff in our past that we wish wasn't there. But God can meet our past and put the pieces together to paint a beautiful picture for our future. We are powerless to change our past. And some of us, we need help. We have counselors on staff as a part of our counseling ministry. We're going to be starting groups to help some of you who are dealing with some struggles deeply, who can meet weekly with a group and get help and hope to deal with your past. Number 2, I'm powerless to control other people. You can keep trying. You can keep manipulating. You can keep trying. But instead, focus on yourself. We are responsible for our own actions. God, show me what I need to change. Help me to take a surrendered life and let you be in control of my own life. Number 3, I'm powerless to cope with my sinful habits. If you could stop, you would have. Let us admit that we have some things that we can't deal with on our own, and we get help. We confess our sins to God, and we get help from our brothers and sisters. We cannot deal with some of these things on our own. James 4:6, as we close, says this, "But He, God, gives us more grace. That is why the Scriptures say God opposes the proud, but He shows favor and gives grace to the humble." Grace is the power to change. God wants to give you the power to have your life transformed. in verse 10, it goes on to say, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Let's pray. Today you may be sitting here, and the first step that you need to take is realizing that God loves you. No matter what it is that's going on in your life, He loves you. The second thing you need to realize is that Christ died, and when He was on the cross, He bore your pain on Himself. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with, and He loves you still. And He says, I see them, and I want to heal them. He wants to be your healer, your source of hope, and your source of help, and no matter what's going on in your life. And your first step needs to simply call out to Him and invite Him in. The Scriptures say that if you believe in your heart that He is Lord and can confess with your mouth that you need Him as your Savior, that He will come into your life and He will make you new. So Father God, I pray right now on behalf of whoever it is in this room that is calling out to You in their heart right now for the first time. Hear their voice. Hear their heart, God. Call out to Him right now from where You sit. God, forgive me. Come into my life. Make me new. Help me to follow You, Lord Jesus. I surrender to You. I am not God. You are. Help me to accept You, to follow You. Thank You for loving me. Help me to love You. Come into my life and make me new. Father God, I pray also for those in this room who know You as Savior, who know You as Lord, but we know that we're falling short, that there are areas of our life that we need to let go and let God. There are areas of our life that we need Your transformational power in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus. Help us to humble ourselves and let You lift us. As we reflect on these things, Lord Jesus, hear our thoughts, hear our prayers. Heal us now. Begin the work that needs to be begun now. Move in us, I pray. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I want to let you know that we have people who love you. We're going to have community group leaders and prayer team members around the room, in the front and in the back, that are ready to pray with you. I want to encourage you to reach across the aisle and find somebody you know and pray with them. And when you're ready, come to the table and be reminded that Christ loves you so much that He gave up His life for you. He died and was broken, but He rose again to give you new life, to help you now live for Him. And when you're ready, come up as a family or as friends. Or if you're here alone, come up and we'll meet you at the table. And let us serve one another, pray for one another, lift each other up. Respond now as God leads you.